America behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben Boland, and I do a couple things for this website as well.
Lots of things. What? Don't sell yourself short, Ben. You do lots of things.
Oh, shucks,
Even
Scott.
More recently, I know. You've been really, really busy in there.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, let me see. Let's think of a segue. Not the two-wheel device are riding.
Shoot.
I mean, a way for us to get from our intro.
I thought you were going to talk about the Segway.
Oh, no,
or
no.
Maybe the Puma.
The Puma.
Yeah, remember that?
Wow.
The GM collaboration thing?
I do want to talk about that, but today we should talk about something that, no offense, I think is...
Maybe a little faster.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess it depends.
It's certainly something that I did not expect when you sent this to me, because this was...
Yeah, it's a departure from the norm, right?
Yeah.
This is unusual, and it's getting mixed reviews. Mixed reviews, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As you can imagine. Well, you've probably read these, right?
Right.
There are a lot of people, a lot of purists that are saying, what is going on here?
Now, let's let the proverbial cat out of the hypothetical bag for the people who are in such a hurry that they listen to our podcast without checking the title.
Yeah, that's right. They just clicked on whatever was next, didn't pay attention.
Yeah, thank you. We love that.
Yeah.
But today's episode is about the Ferrari FF.
Correct.
Now, why is it called the Ferrari FF?
Well, there's a few reasons, really. I mean, and this is the weird thing. I'm sure there's an exact wording for this, why it's the FF, but there's the FF comes from a lot of fours, really, that are in this thing.
Yeah.
It's a four-seater, which is not terribly unusual for Ferrari. Imagine that. I mean, as you look back in Ferrari's history, there have been, I think, as many as 8 four-seater cars. So you might think that that's unusual, but that's not terribly unusual for Ferrari. So it seats 4 passengers.
Right.
Here's the weird part about this thing, and this is what's brand new about this. This is Ferrari's first ever all-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be surprised to hear, I don't know why I'm surprised to hear that.
I'm surprised too, just because Ferrari has been around for such a long time. But they're
there was a trend towards performance vehicles having four-wheel drive for a long time. There
sure.
has been.
Yeah.
In fact, it's still around, of course. Audi does it. Lamborghini has a four-wheel drive version. Now Ferrari does. It seems like a lot of the bigger marks have a performance four-wheel drive version of their vehicle at some point in history. And this one is the very first for Ferrari.
Now, also, let's be clear that this system is called the 4RM.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different bird from a lot of the other four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive systems.
Supposedly very different.
Right.
And the main difference, do you know what the main difference is in this thing?
It's the weight.
Weight, that's right, exactly. It's as much as half of the weight of other similar systems and other sports vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So all-wheel drive systems and vehicles are very heavy just with the hardware that they have to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, for whatever reason, we really have to get into this deeper once this thing is unveiled, because it isn't,
yes.
hasn't even been unveiled yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the time of this podcast it has been. I should have checked the dates. But
no, it's not till March, I think.
Early March.
Yeah.
Early March, which yeah, it's close.
Mm.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But it's going to be unveiled. The formal debut of this thing is in March in Geneva. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more details about it coming soon. But this drive system, this four-wheel drive system, is 50% lighter than other similar systems. Now, what have they removed? What's the compromise here? Because it's got to be strong, right? It's got to be extremely strong, because when we get into the performance figures, you'll find out why. But
yeah.
Another thing that's drawing a lot of attention about this thing, and this is a lot of attention, is the unique design, the exterior body design.
Oh, yeah, the shooting brake design.
Exactly. Now, shooting brake design. Now, if no one's ever heard of this, Ben, you want to describe what this is, or do you want me to take it?
Use your powers of articulation.
All right. Shooting brake design is essentially a long hood, 2 doors, a hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what makes up a shooting brake design. Now, in the past – this goes way, way back, Ben. It goes back prior to World War II.
Right. Yeah.
Shooting brake, I guess before World War II, that was what a majority of the vehicles were,
mm-hmm.
Was shooting brake design. I don't know if I should have said that.
Well, maybe
majority
not.
Brake. Majority, but there were a lot of them around.
Right.
And then it came back into style again in the 50s, 60s, 70s with some of the cars that you may be more familiar with. Like one that I always think of is the Jaguar E-Type.
Yeah.
That one to me.
Handsome.
That very, very nice vehicle. I mean, the E-Type with the extreme sloping back end. It had kind of a hatchback design to it.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long front end, two doors. You can get the picture of what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the more modern versions that you may find on the road are like the BMW Z3 Coupe and the newer Z4.
Good call.
Those are, I guess, the most modern examples of shooting brake designs mm-hmm. you find. And Ferrari, believe it or not, has had a shooting brake design in the past. Did you see this vehicle?
Yes, but only, I didn't know about it until I dug into it a little.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I really didn't pay much attention to this vehicle ever prior to this either as well. It is the 1962 Ferrari 250 GT bread van. They called it a bread van, which right. I thought was kind of funny because, you know, bread van, you get a picture yeah. in your head of what that looks like. But, this is a race car. It's just a flat-out race car. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was cool looking.
The bread circuit used to be really competitive, right? The 60s bread circuit.
I knew there was going to be some type of joke.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it's I guess so. Nature. The speedy delivery, right? Yeah, but you can catch some video of the 250 GT bread van mm-hmm. On a track. I think it's in Italy, but maybe not. You should check it out. There's some, you know, point of view type stuff and also some, you know, just footage of this thing flat out around a track, and it's beautiful.
And while you're there on YouTube, make sure to check out the, I guess the, what are they calling it? A video debut for the Ferrari FF?
Yeah.
And it's basically this commercial that shows some of the awesome handling, some of the precision driving we've talked about in earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really trying to sort of have an exhibition for the handling that this Ferrari has. You know, you see it in snow.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing.
Yeah, come on. That's a huge, huge diversion for them from what they're normally known for.
Right, yeah.
You wouldn't normally see a press release for something like this or a video release
mm-hmm.
for something like this in the snow, and it handles it well. It handles it real well.
Surprisingly well. And they've got a little bit of drift on some of there,
yeah,
which just looks, oh, man.
Yeah, it's really cool looking. And the thing is that, you know, all this footage is done with the vehicle in disguise. So mm-hmm. it's got the camo on, you know, with the false body panels.
Yeah.
Blacked out, you know, a lot of tape all over it and everything. It looks pretty raw, but still very, very interesting. And it's really cool how well it handles the snow.
And this thing is already, you know, as we say, this vehicle has not come out, but it's been a long time in the rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while now, people have been speculating on the emergence of this vehicle. Ferrari has, from what I understand, been dropping hints about it for a while without.
Yeah, they've been talking about, you know, they talk about hybrid cars. They talk mm-hmm. about four-wheel drive cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rumor mills always kind of all Twitter about, you know, the shooting brake design. That seems to get a lot of press recently. You know, there are a lot of manufacturers that are kind of messing around with shooting brake designs right now. Audi is, Porsche mm-hmm. is, of course, you know, there's the wagons that a lot of these companies put out. Mercedes has something mm-hmm. that looks a little bit like a shooting brake design. So yeah, the high end manufacturers are still making shooting brake designs. And why not Ferrari jump on this? Because I'm right now, and here's the strange thing about this, Ben. Even though we've said that, you know, these manufacturers that sound like their competitors are talking about making shooting brake designs.
Yeah.
Get this, for considering this vehicle for the type it is, the shooting brake design, there is no competition. You know why?
Why is that?
It has a V12 engine. And that's really cool about this thing because it's a replacement mm-hmm. for the 612 Scaglietti. Is that right?
Yeah. The Scaglietti. We're butchering the Italian, I'm sure.
Oh,
but,
sure, yeah.
But yeah, it is the successor to that. And this V12 is also no ordinary V12. I mean, it's got some nasty stats.
Oh, yeah. It's a big V12. It's a mm-hmm. 6.3 liter displacement,
mm-hmm.
651 horsepower, Ben. So you know what the top speed is? I think you do.
I'm going to go ahead and I will bet everything on 208 miles an hour.
Did you hear, Ben? 208 miles per hour.
And it's a four-seater.
With a four-seater. Now, you're not going to get that speed with four people inside, of course. You'll get close. But can you imagine just being able to take four people that fast if you were able to get up to that speed, I guess?
No, you know me very well, Scott. That is not a good decision for me to make.
That's pretty impressive to be able to – you know, a 651 horsepower, two-door, four-seater vehicle.
Yeah.
I could see why it has no competitors.
Right. And also, the weird thing is, you can also fold down the seats and to get a little under 30 square feet, right?
Yeah, that's right. They really tout the capacity, the storage capacity in this thing. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, Ferrari doesn't have much storage space, of course. They've got, you know, space for, I don't know, bag of groceries or something, maybe
right.
the most,
yeah.
you know, the passenger
yeah.
seat, really, but that's not storage. This one, you're able to get, I think it's about 15 cubic feet when the seats are up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fold the rear seats down, you get
like 28 or something.
It's like 28 or 30, something close to that. It's about double that, but not a whole lot, but they're really, really pushing that because, you know, it allows somebody, you know, the shooting brake design is for, originally it was for the sportsman. It was for the golfers. It was for the polo players, the fox hunters that would take, you know, ammunition, the guns. They would take their dogs with them. It was for somebody who wanted a sports car with storage capacity. And this is exactly what you get in this vehicle.
And it's, you know, obviously listeners are probably noticing that you and I are pretty excited about this. But we would be remiss if we didn't say that this is controversial.
Yeah, it's definitely controversial. I think a lot of people, you know, I mean, we talked about this in the past that Ferrari owners are saying, you know, like, what are you doing to the mark here? You're making it more affordable. You're making it, you're making it, you know, lower power so that, you know, it's more affordable.
If I wanted a station wagon, I'd buy a Volvo or a Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah. The design itself is getting a lot of criticism, but I think, you know, the 651 kind of cancels that out quite a bit. And the price, this is going to be a $200,000 plus dollar vehicle.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to fit the bill for somebody who's looking for four seats, a wickedly fast performance car, because this thing is going to go 0 to 62 in 3.7 seconds, Ben.
Yeah.
So that's really fast. And of course you got the Ferrari name and the legendary performance and, you know, the
history,
interior
the engineering.
And history. And it all plays into this, you know, you kind of got to have it thing for somebody who's got to have it.
Yeah, well,
no. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Yeah, I guess.
It does make sense. I mean, I do think there's a niche, but riddle me this. Who is that niche, you know? Like, if you own this car, Scott, let's say you're not a Leno, but you're close, right? Hypothetically, what would you have this car for? What purpose does it serve?
Well, I guess this would be a vehicle if you're going to take, you know what? This would extend the usability of a Ferrari from being a Saturday car with one other person to if you have a kid or if you have two kids or a kid and a dog or whatever you want to take with you.
Yeah.
You're now able to take it up and go antiquing in the North Georgia mountains.
Coolest uncle ever, right?
Exactly. Yeah. This gives it some usability. It gives some practicality, which, I mean, well, some practicality, but, you know, far more than what you would have with a two-seater Ferrari. Of current design. So I think that, you know, this is something that people are going to buy. I think that, you know, you see a lot of sports sedans right now.
True.
This is not a sports sedan, but it's similar.
Sure.
And with the cargo carrying ability, I think people are going to be, you know, throwing the golf clubs in the back and taking it to the country club. A lot more than you know, what you would see them driving alone with the golf clubs poking out of the top, you know, in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really do think people are going to buy this, and I think that the design is cool personally. I like it.
Yeah, I think, aesthetically, I agree with you on the design. I'm definitely interested to see how this vehicle performs in the marketplace. And our listeners, when you guys are hearing this podcast, it'll be either right around the time that this hits the Geneva show. Maybe just after.
So you're going to have access to a lot more information than we have right now.
Yeah.
And videos and, you know, maybe even the official release party or whatever. But, check it out. It's really a cool car.
Yeah. And once you check it out, let us know what you think. Because as we said, there are some people who are, sort of embracing this idea and excited to see what happens. And there are some other people who think that it is a poor mark on the brand, right?
Oh yeah, the ones that are they're outspoken against it are very outspoken against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if these are people that are potential buyers or Ferrari owners or what, mm-hmm. but a lot of people are just saying some really bad things about it, but you'll hear just as many good things about it too.
Yeah.
So it's a love-hate thing.
Yeah, I can tell people are impassioned because they're typing in all caps on the internet.
You know what? Wait, reserve your judgment until you see one on the road or maybe get a ride in one.
Yeah.
And then see what you think, because that's got to be a blast.
Don't knock it till you rock it, you know?
Yeah,
I just made that up.
That's all right. That was good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we probably won't use it again. But
I'll use it every day.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott. If you guys have anything you'd like to tell us about the Ferrari, some other vehicles you'd like us to look at, or some handy phrases we can use to segue toward the ending.
Please, please, we need them.
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, CarStuffHSW, on our blog. Check out our website if you want to learn anything else about cars. And hey, you know what? If you're feeling social, send us an email.
At carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.